This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local Union 98, is a proud sponsor of The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause every Saturday night from 6 to 8 p.m. IBEW Local 98's highly trained and superbly skilled electricians are the best in the business, setting the highest safety standards in the electrical industry. So when you're planning your next industrial, commercial, or residential project, choose an IBEW Local 98 union contractor. Learn more at IBEW98.org.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show. With J. Doc and Krause.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the law offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
And a good Saturday, everyone, and welcome in to The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, hour number one of our two-hour broadcast. J. Doc, great show lineup tonight. We're back to one of our union spotlights, and I'll let you pick up the introduction from there.
Sure, Joe, and certainly this is almost like our tour of the unions, and we're very fortunate to be back here at AFSCME District Council 33 for our spotlight special with the leadership. Appeared a new leadership. So Ernest Garrett is the new president here. He's unable to join us, but certainly, you know, his spirit is with us, and we're certainly we're ecstatic that, you know, at least we're able to be in the presence of 2/3 of the leadership here, and certainly we have Omar Salam, Vice President. How are you, sir?
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, and of course our good friend Frank Halber, Secretary Treasurer. How are you, Frank?
I'm great, Joe. Joe, good to see you, fellas. Yeah. Welcome to District Council 33.
And nice to be here. Great to be able to join you and kind of help us and help you kick off 2021, help us continue with our, as J-Doc said, our tour around the union community here in the Delaware Valley. And J-Doc, speaking of that, it gives me the platform to reference our first labor leader roundtable, now scheduled for the month of April. Will come the week after the All-Star Labor Classic, the 34th annual All-Star Labor Classic, and we'll be back at the Sonesta with a huge group and a big event all planned.
And by the way, that would be a good time to get the rain check to have Ernest Garrett on the program. We know he's in the meeting, so. But we have a great time at Sonesta. Fantastic. They put out a nice spread. I'm not much for food, Frank, as you well know.
I know.
But it's great for the labor leaders. Joe Krause, radio is theater of the mind. Really, we want to thank you guys for the hospitality, a great food set up here. Joe likes to eat all of the food. I'm not like that. I want to keep, I'm just saying, no eating during the show, Joe.
All right, Jada, can we get into the program, Jada?
having said that, guys, if you would introduce yourselves, so tell our listeners, this is a spotlight show on the new leadership here at DC 33. So, Omar Salam, you're both pointing at each other. Frank Halber. How about you go first? You were the president of 1637, one of the sub-locals here. Now you're the secretary treasurer. But tell our listeners give them a little of your background.
Yeah, Joe, that's true. I was a tow truck driver, a shop steward throughout my career here in the city. I did eventually run for president of AFSCME Local 1637. I was in my fourth term when I decided to join these great labor leaders and try to bring some different approaches to the council level. And, I mean, you're about to introduce Omar Salam. Omar's a guy that, we campaigned for 12 hours a day for over 30 days. And you get to know somebody. You're with him 6 in the morning, 6 at night. And I'm a better man for knowing him. He's a great labor leader. He's a young man. He's on point.
I had the pleasure of meeting Omar, a great athlete.
I was going to throw it in there, Joe. You're both renowned high school athletes.
Omar's passing him a 20 there. They are kind words. But when I had the opportunity to meet you, Omar, we talked more about sports than we did about business and
unions. Left. You would have never noticed me
missing. Exactly, you're doing right. Omar, how are you, sir?
I'm great, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, he said, I'm Omar Salam. Started with the city of Philadelphia about 22 years ago, sanitation division, working my way through the ranks. I was a driver, laborer, eventually even was a supervisor. About 11 years ago, I got involved with the union for the first time, became a shop steward, moved through the ranks pretty fast, local vice president. Maybe a year and a half ago, I became local business agent. Now I'm 3 months in, a council vice president. Surreal experience. It's something I never thought about in my life, actually. I'm actually still currently also the business agent of Local 427. A lot of people don't know that the vice president position is a part-time position, so I'm actually fortunate enough to still be able to work both sides. Like, you know, it's something like sanitation is something that's near and dear to me. It's been very, very good to me and my family. I love it. It was something growing up I never thought that I would be a sanitation worker, as I probably say, a trash man.
Sure.
But it's one of the best experiences.
And the most important people, there's nobody in the city that isn't, you know what I mean, like every week, what, you know, when that machine is not running properly, everybody's in a panic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that recent events actually showed that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, just the pride of going out and doing your job. You know, it's an old saying, you know, honest days work for honest days pay. Frank talked about the whole campaign process. It was brutal. And, you know, we knew each other, but we didn't really know each other. Like, now we kind of, like, bonded. It's like, you know, like, when we hang
You're
up
in the night, trenches now,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we hang up at night, he like, good night, buddy. I'm like, good night, bro. But we know when we get up tomorrow, we got to go back to it. And, yeah. You know, we got a good general. I kind of wish he could be here right now, but, you know, he's taking care of some other things, part of what a team is. But, yeah, we're looking forward to making
Omar, what made you get into or to decide to campaign for what is now a dual role for you? What was the motivation?
To be truthful with you, I just felt like sanitation was too important of a department not to have a seat at the table. I felt like what we did should be represented. And, you know, I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you can sit back, you can talk about what needs to be done, you can do it. So for me, it was something like I said, it was something that I never thought about, to be truthful. But I've always... I'm kind of like one of the more known union reps. I'm always doing something. One of those, you know, little radical. Sometimes I have no problem saying that, but it's my heart is always in the right place. So at some point in time, I just felt like, you know, this is what my people needed. So when they spoke to me and told me, "Listen, Omar, this is what we want you to do," it was a no-brainer.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because as an athlete, and you know, you want the ball, and that's not
the mentality,
right? That's not a coincidence. And you're a coach also, and I've talked to you when we had our conversation. We first met a couple months ago, and you told me a story that I thought was just when you'd mentioned that your son was also a good athlete. Your team was winning, and they were winning big, and you pulled your son. Even though the coach didn't, I think, you know, the game was out of hand, and you were not going to allow the team to embarrass the other team. And I thought to myself, not only is this guy a coach, but he's also somebody who's passionate and who's compassionate and who's thinking about other people. And as a labor leader, having said that, you know, you're out there, you got to be up front, but at the same time, you're representing individuals, and you got to be you got to be on that pulse. So there's got to be some synergy there.
I think it has something to do with the way I was brought up. You know, I was always taught, you know, you work hard, you do the right thing, and the right things will happen. But I was also taught that, you know, it's a certain part of life where you have to be willing to see yourself in the eyes of others. And if you can't look at what the people go through working, you know, it's easy. A lot of people get in positions where as though things get better and comfortable for them and they forget where they come from. For us to come down here and not want to put it on the line and sacrifice the same way we wanted somebody else to do, because at the end of the day, you know, I want to start out with saying I'm grateful for every union leader that ever served in District Council 33. I'm grateful. Listen, I hear nothing but legendary stuff about Earl Stout. Never met the man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm grateful for James Sutton. I'm grateful for Pete Matthews. I had a great relationship.
By the way, that's some legendary labor leaders right there.
Absolutely. So I'm grateful for what they brought to the table. What I feel like is now it's our time to go take what they did, take that legacy and move it forward.
Sure.
Now it's time for us to go out there and step out there and do what needs to be done for the people because it's needed.
And Frank, real quick, let me come to you. 2 minutes, J-Doc, until we get to our first break, and then we'll get into a large menu of topics that were created by J-Doc. So long that we'll never cover all of those topics. But Frank, we begin with this profile in the month of January 2021. On a national level, there's a new administration leading the charge. On a local level, there are a lot of needs. There are a lot of issues. There are a lot of concerns. So you didn't step into this role while the gravy train was rolling outside the front door. There is a tremendous amount of work to get done, and with that comes a big expectation.
Absolutely, Joe. We knew that when we got in here, and we knew, politically wise, the administration that was in office, and we know the damage that has been done to organized labor.
You're talking about on a national level.
I'm talking about on the national
got
level.
Got it.
So, I mean, with the recent presidential election, we're grateful. I mean, because we were possibly a stone's throw away from
being extinct.
I mean, really. I mean, I sit in on the AFL-CIO public sector meetings, and I hear the guys that are on the federal level, and what's happening to them guys through that administration. People don't see it, but it's happened. He was dissembling organized labor. And, I mean, I'm sure I can speak for Omar and any other labor leader. We're grateful that Joe Biden is now this president, and he's already, I mean, we put Marty Walsh in the president of the mayor of Boston.
Who was also the head of the laborers union
correct,
in Boston.
Correct. Great move. It really lit a fire under us, knowing that a guy from the trenches is now in that position. I believe in the last week, President Biden removed someone from the NLRB.
NLRB, right.
The
general counsel.
Voted, voting against organized labor on a continuum basis. So the things he's doing are exciting, and we're all in this together, and we're hoping the next 4 years will be better than the last four.
The Labor Show with Jaydock and Krause as we roll along here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll get to our first commercial break. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Plumbers Local 690, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, Iron Workers Local 401, and SEIU Local 32BJ District 1201. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
And back here on a Saturday night, it's the Labor Show with Jaydock and Krause, hour number one of the two-hour program right here every Saturday, Jaydock, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, shout out to Ernest Garrett, president here at District Council 33, who's unable, he's on other business, so he's not unable to join us on the broadcast. But we're very happy to have Omar Salam, vice president, and Frank Halber, secretary treasurer. That is the new administration here at DC 33. Guys, what brought the three of you together? Because, you're a new administration. Omar, you mentioned the three previous leaders. It reminds me, when you said that, of, and I say this not in jest, Pittsburgh Steelers, Chuck Knoll. You know, and they're now their current head coach. They don't get many. There's such great leaders there. Okay, who's the I forget who the head coach is now, but they've both been there. I mean, Chuck Knoll was there 30 years. Bill Cowher and then the current coach,
Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. You're now talking about three guys in like 30 or 40 or 50 mm-hmm. years. That's the way it is here. Okay, and so obviously big shoes to fill. What brought the three of yous together? Individually, not just politically speaking, but what drew yous together to run for the office and to do what yous got to do?
I think it started with respect, and just a thought that we needed to move in a different direction because it just was time. It wasn't about anything in the past. It wasn't about, hanging anything in the Bible. It was just like we just knew that we needed something different.
Sure.
And one of the things I tell people all the time, one of the things that I always respected about Ernie is Ernie came in this building every day, and he walked the walk, and he talked the talk. And when he made his announcement, he was just very firm on it. It wasn't never anything negative. It was always about how do we build out for the membership? How do we make DC 33? And in turn, when you make DC 33 better, you make the city of Philadelphia better. Because you got to realize something. We represent the majority of the departments that actually help the city function. Like everything you see, when you wake up in the morning and the guy goes up and flicks the switch to take a shower, That's the water department. When you go, you know, roll your cans out, that's the sanitation department. When you drop your kids off at school, one of the most unsung and least respected jobs, I think, in the city of Philadelphia is crossing guards. And people don't think about the job that they do. They don't think about how much they protect kids. They don't think about how much they sacrifice when it comes to kids. We got crossing guards out there who go in their own pockets and purchase gloves and meals for kids because their families might not have it. Or, you know, you might have a single mom or a single dad rush and leave, you know, send their kid off to work and they might forget a glove or a hat. We got crossing guards who actually go in their pockets and do those things and give them to those kids. People don't realize that when they go take their kid off of something as simple as a play catch, that's the Parks and Recs. That's Parks and Recs. So pretty much every division that you see in the city of Philadelphia, I mean, the guys with the parking authority, I mean, people hate to see them come because they think their car is going to be...
I always use Frank Halver's name. Well, wait a second here.
But you know, it started about respect, and he was very firm about who he was. I always knew Frank because Frank was one of those guys, you know, I'm like the newest officer, full-time officer now as a business agent. So Frank would always just randomly stop me like, hey, man, you good? You need... And this was before we started talking about running anything. He was like, yo, man, you good? You need anything? Stop to give me some information, talk, whatever the fact. And when we put this slate together, it was done the right way because it wasn't like I'm just going to throw a bunch of guys together. It was like, listen, I want the guys that everybody respects the most. And we put that to a vote.
Sure.
So we can make sure we had a proper team and we had the people that got behind it. And then from that moment on, it just was like, I guess it was like meeting the love of your life somewhat. Like the chemistry just clicked. Like
yeah.
It wasn't a problem. Like we came together. Everything worked well. It was just a good situation.
What's interesting about that also, and Frank, I've known Frank for a couple years now. So same exact thing, salt to the earth. Loyalty, commitment to members, but very interesting, guys. Now that you're the leadership here with Ernest Garrett, the president, and I can't wait to meet Ernest because, there's obviously I've heard some great things and, you know, from you guys and other individuals, but you're now in a major leadership situation, and we Joe Krause and I get the opportunity to go out and visit a lot of union halls, and we're so fortunate. It's like being on a tour, like Joe said at the beginning of the program. What's interesting about DC-33 is it's one of the highest profile locals in the city of Philadelphia, one of the highest profile unions. When something happens here, it's news. You may be able, and that there's several unions like that, but my point is, you're in the spotlight. And so whatever's done here, you represent how many thousand, Frank, how many thousand members?
10,000.
10,000 members.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, so many, Omar, you such a diverse membership and the different jobs, just you know, like you said, you know, they're dealing with DC-33. If you're in the city of Philadelphia, they're helping to run your life. But having said that, you're in the public eye. And is there now that you are, because you've been running, you know, the locals for so long, what's the difference now knowing that, you know, you're literally, it's on the news, it's on record, you're now at the top of the situation? What's that like?
Well, for me, listen, you got three guys here with a lot of experience,
right?
I mean, I know when we were running, there are some things out there about inexperience. There's no inexperience here. I was serving in my fourth term as president of a local that represents police, fire, DA's office, public property, and parking authority, and correction officers. I mean, being a business agent at sanitation is no joke. You don't get there by accident. You don't get there by accident. You don't stay there by accident. So what we figure is we're going to bring new thoughts, but bring what we've been doing at the local level to the district council level. And that's basically, I feel very comfortable. I mean, I'm sure Omar does too. We feel we've been preparing for this without really knowing we were preparing for it for years now. And I think we're going to we want to leave this council a little better than it was when we stepped in this door. And
Omar,
I'm convinced we can do that.
Let me follow up on that and get last thought from you as we go into our next commercial break. The need or the necessity to get along and be able to work with the city administration, because you're so heavily involved in all of the different locals from all of the different categories, the lights don't come on and the lights don't go off without DC-33 being in the conversation. What do you expect?
I'm gonna say this. I don't think we necessarily have to get along. I just think we have to respect each other, and we all have the same agenda. Like, I mean, truthfully, I think that if we always on the same page with the city, that's a problem. Because at the end of the day, they got a job to do, and so do we do. our job is to advocate for what's best, the best interests of our members. And at the end of the day, the city will come back with, you know, budgets. Because, you know, you have to look at a lot of factors. The city has other things that happen. You got schools. You got a whole bunch of other stuff, right? And, you know, being somebody that's somewhat conscious, I understand that the city doesn't just run, just wrapped around us. Our whole thing is just treat us fair. But understand something. The guys you're dealing with now, we'll dig our feet in the sand and we'll say, hey, listen, let's do what we got to do. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be disrespectful. It doesn't have to be a problem. I think one of the things, I think Bill Clinton said when he introduced Obama in the second term, he said, you know, democracy don't have to be a blood sport. We're going to disagree. We're going to disagree, and we should disagree. But at the end of the day, we all have the same agenda, which is just doing what's right and being fair. We should be able to come to the table and have discussions and do what we got to do. I don't have any personal issues with anybody in the city of Philadelphia. I don't know them personally. They're not a part of my personal life. But at the end of the day, what is personal to me is the men and women who I represent. So, you know, cross that line, and it is what it is.
Well done, well stated. We'll get to our next commercial break. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Iron Workers Local 405, and Steam Fitters Local 420. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
We're going to try to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to find solutions to what really is not working.
And back here on The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause every Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Fascinating, J-Doc, when you get inside the thought process of the great labor leaders. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy the expansion of the show. Gives us the ability to do labor leader spotlights so the public, the listening public,
sure,
can understand and learn about these incredible leaders. Stuff tonight.
It is. And how many times have you talked to somebody who doesn't understand unions and they'll say, and they'll all clunk us into one. You talk about the union, like we're all in the same union. What's fascinating, Joe, is getting the opportunity to delve into each union's process and the fact that, you know, the uniqueness. And this is extremely, how many unions do you represent within District Council 33?
15, I believe, 14, 15, 15. 15.
So having said that means, you know, I'm an iron worker. With the iron workers, we have one collective bargaining agreement, okay? And it's a big deal, okay? Here, there is, there's 15, 14, 15 collective bargaining agreements and contracts with the city. I don't even know how you sleep at night. Having said that, with all that going, you guys have a lot of those contracts coming up. What's going on in those areas, Frank?
We do, Joe. We have, two contracts this year and one binding arbitration for the prison guards up on State Road, who have been working under great stress too, believe me. So we have binding arbitration coming up for them, I believe, in April or May. We have the city contract on June 30th, expires June 30th, and we have the Philadelphia Parking Authority contract that ends on August 31st. So you've got all three contracts this year. We're getting our ducks in a row. And it's been a crazy year with COVID. People say, what are you going to do? They're going to cry poor mouth. Well, you know what? We don't look at it that way. We look at it like this is a starting point. These people, the people we represent, are essential employees. I mean, they've been coming in and day out through all of this. As you know, I've represented the 911 dispatchers.
Sure.
And I mean, they're troopers. And in my mind, I know me and Omar on the same page, Ernest on the same page. These people got to be rewarded for what they've been through because they just keep coming. When it's like on a snowstorm, when all them cars are leaving the city and you got five cars coming in, they're city workers. They're essential personnel. They're the ones coming in the other way while we're all going home. And that's how it was doing this.
Frank,
and it's still going on.
I don't know the answer to this question. You may or may not, but the workers are essential workers. Have they reached a point where the vaccine has been made available to them because they are considered essential or not yet in the distribution of it?
Some people have started. Our dispatchers in the Philadelphia Fire Department are included in with first responders. So they started to receive, I think they were in 1B, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe healthcare workers as well.
Healthcare workers, that's right. Healthcare workers might even be for that. So healthcare workers, I know fire dispatchers, I believe not police dispatchers will be getting it shortly with the officers. So yes, and we've had meetings with the city, because again, it's, I mean, we know cops are out there doing their jobs, firefighters. But listen, our people are out there. We put our pants on the same way as everybody else, and we're coming to work every day.
Streets Department talk about the vaccine. We've had conversation about that. There's just certain things when you're dealing with something that to that level that you want to make sure everything's okay. And I'm not a doctor, so certain things that I don't understand medically, you want to understand all those types of things. But one thing I can say, and you know, I can sit here and talk about the Streets Department all day long, right? Because at the end of the day, it's something that I've done. But one of the things I think that COVID did, I think that COVID didn't create new problems. It just brought a lot of problems to light. So it showed a lot of things that was happening within the city of Philadelphia. Those men and women in the sanitation department have been out there since COVID kicked off. And now you look at it because of, you know, employees being quarantined and just different things that happen. Our guys been working 6 and 7 days consistently now. I mean, this is going back to last year. If you look at what the starting wages for a sanitation worker, it's very low, especially when you compare it to the things of what it costs to buy a house in Philadelphia, what it costs to live and maintain in Philadelphia. So these guys are already underpaid, right? But they're going out there and they're doing a job, putting their health on the line every day, because you have to realize something. The Philadelphia Sanitation Department is the only division in Philadelphia within the five-day period we physically touch every residential household in the city of Philadelphia. Just think about how that increases your exposure. But before, and I'm not trying to talk about, you know, like that's the only department, because here's the go. Think about the men and women over there at the Philadelphia Corrections Office. Any person who comes in off the street, who can come in, possibly exposed to COVID, is being boarded. And I understand they got testing and things going on. You got officers who are being forced to work long schedules. They're being hooked. They can't go home until somebody relieves them. You got a whole bunch of different things happening up there. So there are a lot. And Frank represents the prison guard, so he can tell you about it. It's a lot of divisions. Until we went up there and we went up there and campaigned and talked to them, and you actually really saw the things that was going on. One of the best things about being in this position now, I used to think so many things were just isolated to sanitation, but then I realized that most of the departments in the city of Philadelphia face the same hardships. And that's something that collectively we have to come together as a council, and we got to figure out how we make that right. Because these people believe in us, and they want somebody that's going to go out there and advocate for their rights and care and make sure that their babies are going to be taken care of, making sure that they're not taking a potentially dangerous disease home that could kill that elderly parent that they're taking care of. It's so many factors that get overlooked. And my only problem to it is, and not to say anything negative nobody, I don't feel like people who are making decisions should be making them from home when the people that you represent on the front line working.
Yeah, well stated. I mean, the other thought I'm processing, J-Doc, and we've talked about this a lot, is that, and I'm not being disrespectful to those listening to the show that are non-union, but I think all of those people that make up all of those homeowners in the city of Philadelphia perhaps take for granted the fact that your workers have not stopped going back to the beginning of what was the start of this craziness of the pandemic. Those workers have shown up every day.
Well, it's interesting. And you talk about essential workers. Okay, and Joe, it's on. You want to talk about essential workers? Every one of the workers that you just mentioned, just think about what, you just think about what would happen if we didn't have them. If we didn't have our sanitation department. Let me tell you something, man. You'd through the roof, as you well know. Okay, same with the 911 operators. Are they essential? Spend 2 hours without them in the city of Philadelphia. Spend a day without our sanitation department, and all hell breaks loose. No exaggeration. And Joe Krause, you just mentioned union, non-union. How about these, maybe in counties or places that work for independent sanitation, employers that aren't represented, that don't have individuals like Omar Salam and Frank Halper and Ernest Garrett representing them and all the other union leaders that you have? Because there are counties that aren't in unions and the opportunity to have rights and somebody representing during COVID times. Okay, like literally individuals are coming into work. And often, you know it, because Frank, we've talked about it. I know Ernest knows it, and obviously from where he's coming from, and Omar, these people are going into work every day, and not only doing the job, but also not knowing what they're touching. You said it, they're touching every sanitation department, every household in the city of Philadelphia. And for a while there, we had no idea how contagious this disease was. And these individuals are risking their lives. And certainly, I can only imagine some of the stories, the fears, and the sentiments that you two have dealt with on a daily basis. When that came out, Omar, what was it like? What were the workers, what were their sentiments? Because everybody was in the dark.
Well, I want to start with saying this. Throughout the hardships of COVID, I think one of the things that COVID did on the positive side was it showed the beauty of humanity, because you had so many people, the public, who, I mean, you had your people who were, you know, were rude and, you know, pick my trash up, yelling and things. But the majority of people, you know what I mean, people came outside with gloves, with masks, water, you know, hey, listen, we appreciate you, what you guys are doing. People, because they knew that they couldn't come outside, they would hang signs in their window. Like, one of the things that I used to really love about being a sanitation, when I drove a sanitation truck, I used to love when that little kid would come to the door and blow the horn. And you would have parents bring their kid to the window because the kids were used to these types of things.
Yeah.
So there's always been a personal relationship with not just sanitation, with civil service period. Like, there's always been a relationship. Like, there are some people in the world who love cops. Most people, I don't hear too many people say anything bad about firefighters. At the end of the day, people appreciate the job that public sector employees do. They appreciate the job that city workers do. A lot of it just goes unsung because people don't know about it and people don't talk about it. Like, people only really talk about, and not to keep throwing them out there, but you only hear about, you know, police, fire, maybe sanitation. You don't hear about all the other departments that do what they got to do to make this city run. And, you know, not to go away from your question, but I think this is the question you asked me. A lot of people in the streets department, when COVID came out, they were terrified. Because they didn't know what to expect. A lot of people didn't know what to expect. I mean, you got to realize something. I mean, last time we were doing the numbers, we were already over 100 people that were exposed. Excuse me, 100 people that had tested positive. Not to mention the people who were exposed. And you had those people who would go on social media because that's people's outlet, or going to newspaper articles like, you know, why is our trash running days behind? But you're not thinking about the human factor of the people who are not able to come at work because they're actually sick. And one thing about it is, you know, like, we've had people in this very building who actually had COVID. So you see it firsthand what it can do to people. And to see people actually losing their life, you know, you see somebody that appears to be perfectly happy, I mean, healthy, and then the next thing you know, they're, like, gravely ill. And then you look at people who had no health problems, but then since COVID, they start to notice that, you know, the heart ain't working the same, the lungs ain't working the same. Like, this is a scary thing because, and I think a lot of this goes back to the previous administration, and I'm thankful to God for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They didn't do enough to make sure that the people, not just in Philadelphia, but in America, were safe. So it wasn't information being put out there. The resources weren't working. It was what people needed. So while our great leader was throwing a cat fight about what people said about him in the paper and what people said on Twitter, it was people dying in America.
Well, the message was, you know, misconstrued. It was more about saving his own butt. And the fact is that combustion in Washington, D.C. was just at the detriment of all of us. And now you got your workforce out there in the dark as leaders. You're trying to get to the bottom of it and change the dialogue and so definitely a difficult situation.
This is the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause as we roll along here on a Saturday night. One segment to go. We'll take our final break. J-Doc, you can enjoy your sandwich during this commercial break, and then we'll pick it up on the other side. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause are presented by DC 33, Local 1637, News Guild 10, and IBEW Local 98. Choose an IBEW Local 98 union contractor when planning your next project. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And back here on the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause, hour number one of the two-hour show every Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Big shout-out, J-Doc, to Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. I continue to let all of the listeners know that the one man in the Delaware Valley for 35 years who has unconditionally raised his hand to support every union initiative in this city is Jim Stevenson. And I am proud, as Pat Iding said 2 weeks ago, I am proud to say that Jim Stevenson is one hell of a guy. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, and if you need an automobile,
yeah, call Jim.
Just in case you didn't know what he actually did. Jim's the best. Guys, how long has it been since you have taken over the helm?
3 months.
3 months. How's it going? And I know you guys are out in the field on a daily basis. Talk about that, Frank.
Well, we got a lot of things going on. I mean, up here, I mean, health and welfare is always a number one issue. How to contain costs, give our members the best coverage at the lowest possible cost. We all know the rising cost of healthcare, but we're coming up with creative ideas to deal with that.
Sure.
We've also been, Omar, myself, and Jada Matthews, we've been visiting work sites every week and interviewing our members to get the human side of our members, that they're just not somebody working, that especially during this pandemic. Like Omar said earlier, these are human beings that are coming in to make a living and possibly taking a disease home to their family. So we've actually been going out there.
Special interest.
And we're trying to highlight members' profiles. We were out last week. We were at Baxter at the water department. We hit some fleet, talking to fleets. This morning, 6:30 this morning, we were up at Ashburner and State Road talking to the sanitation guys.
He was there. I was late.
Frank, what do you learn from that when you're out there? I know you know, and you know a lot of the members. You know what they do. You
must
can
be
represent
awesome for them.
Them. But what do you learn when you get out there on their terms?
Joe, it reiterates why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Amen, man. Brother. Good job.
Every sanitation person we talked today, one thing they mentioned was, my back's killing me. The job takes a toll whether you're doing it 5 years, guys are doing it 20 years. I don't know how they're doing it, man. I mean, they're out there humping day in and day out. Why? They're not being rich. They don't own a house on a hill. They're doing it to make a living, to hopefully make their kids' lives better than the American dream, right? To make our kids' lives better than ours. And they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And again, it just lights a fire. Listen, I love going out. I am a working man, and I love being around working people. That's my thing. And it was so enjoyable. It's enjoyable. We'll be out there every week talking. We're hoping to talk to all the members in this city.
What's that like, Omar?
It's something for me that's personal. Being new to this position, I never stopped going to the districts, in particular sanitation. It's a little bit different now. We're having all these other local
10,000 members
trying to get out there. But I still pretty much visit a sanitation yard every day because I'm just connected to my guys like that. I mean, I always did things like when I was the vice president, I would Copas has like half off burgers. We would go out there and just sit out because I feel like you spend 10, 12 hours a day with these people. Like you become like family. You know, the kids start calling you, you know, Uncle Jay and things like that. So like that personal relationship starts to feel and form and bond. So going out to the yards is always like going to home to me. I was very happy that Frank actually, he's heading our campaign right now, and I was actually very happy that he wanted to go out and really put the highlight on sanitation. But just to show how things go, it was a kid that he actually grew up coaching and that he actually talked to. And the funny thing about it is just how me and Frank bonded. Me, both, like this guy, like he's like, I guess, almost like a son or a kid to Frank. He's like a brother to me, really good guy. So, and you get out there and you get to hear a personal story because everybody has their own story.
Sure.
And one of the things I think people really makes people feel good when you look at them, you say, hey, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Or you just speak to them, you talk to them, or just to pay attention to somebody. Like, I always make sure that I know something personal about my guys, something was going on, what they care about. Like, you know, hey, how your mom doing? Just simple, basic things, and just be genuine and sincere when you ask it.
Sure.
So when you go out and you visit people, it makes them feel good.
It's part of great leadership.
It makes them feel good to see their leadership being present. Because, you know, it's easy to come in here and pull into your reserve parking spot and go in your little office and be important. But what's important is being out there with the people who make this thing run. Because at the end of the day, I've never lost, and I think all of us have this in common, I've never lost the mentality that I work for those people. Like, that's what it is for me. And I tell, like, people call my phone 8, 9 o'clock at night. They're like, yo, I'm sorry to bother you. I was like, what do you, like, listen, I work for you. What do you mean? If a kid comes out in the summer, in the wintertime and shovels your front snow, he don't get to make a little path and say, hey, give me $20. It's the same thing here. We work for these people. So we have to give, if that same kid, if you say, hey, listen, you got to come around the corner, go up in the driveway. It's the same thing. We work for these people. We owe them to give them the best union possible. They have to get the union they deserve. And I got to bring Ernest back to this because I appreciate and I respect him.
I was just
so going to
ask that about
because
Ernest.
Because at the end of the day, like, Ernie has shown me what it's like. I thought I had it bad. Ernie is like a perfectionist. Like, he wants to make this health and welfare thing go great. He wants to see his employees have the best of everything. And, you know, I go in Frank's office, and Frank's sitting back there just all whipping away papers, looking at the numbers, making sure everything's right, because he's adamant about making sure that every dime is supposed to be where it's supposed to be. As his point, what his job is, he wants to do that. Like, it could very easily be like, hey, I'm going to just sit back here and just chill out. Like, Frank, one of the few people in this building, the few people I know in life who actually walks around looking for work.
Yeah,
but that's what he does. He's like, right. Yo, I need something to do.
I knew I liked so, you, Frank. The first time I met you, brother. Back.
No, I'm being serious.
Oh yeah,
like the work ethic that the members of DC-33, they're going to appreciate that when they really realize what type of president they have, what kind of secretary treasurer they have, and I'm just honored to be on the team with these guys in the system in any way I can.
Well, listen, and one Frank, we got about a minute and a half. Build on that when it comes to Ernest Garrett. He's not here right now. Talk about him for a second, because I know he's somebody that you guys stand behind, and obviously, that's the trail that he's the one that blazed the trail.
Yeah, we stand behind him. We support him 100%. And he's got a lot of responsibility, man. He's got take on this position is no joke. And we're going to be there for him, whatever he needs. And again, he's another guy with creative ideas, trying to think outside the box to make this something we all can be proud of. And I just want to end with, you heard Omar talking for the last hour. Man, listen, that's why if I want to be in a foxhole, I want to be in a foxhole with Omar Salaam, man.
I want to say one thing before Joe Krause takes us home. DC-33 members are in good hands, man.
Appreciate it.
I mean, and it's a fact. I can't be more proud to be a part of a union community where there's laborers like Frank Halber, like Omar Salaam, and Ernest Garrett, which, by the way, tell them we got a rain check coming.
You got it,
we
Joe.
Can't wait to get him in. Unbelievable, Joe Krause. Fantastic.
Well done. Great job. Great show. J Doc did a nice job today. You didn't talk too much, and we got a lot of content.
It's kind of a backhanded compliment, but yeah, I'll take it.
For hour number one, stay tuned. Hour number two of the Labor Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll be up after the top of the hour. Don't forget, listen up for information on the 34th annual All-Star Labor Classic, that coming up in April, and then the week post after the All-Star Labor Classic. J-Doc, I look forward to our gathering at the Sonesta Hotel. That's going to do it for hour number one of the Labor Show. On behalf of Frank, on behalf of Omar, on behalf of Ernest, and of course on behalf of the man himself, who has the first line in the title, J-Doc, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show have been sponsored by Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, CWA, Communication Workers of America, and APSME Local 1739, DC 47. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.